It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Every individual in this world is accountable to God. Not only you, but your child as well. Now, when I say child, that child could be 30 years old and out in the world. But that person is accountable to God, and that person has to make a decision for Jesus Christ just like you did. God does not force salvation on anyone. Salvation comes when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. He speaks to our heart, and we understand that we're lost, we're sinners, and we need something in order to go to heaven. And what we need and who we need is Jesus Christ. He is the only way to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And that's through Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, you know, the Bible still says that he will not depart from it. Well, let me ask you a question. What do you think about Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve, according to the scriptures, the Bible says that they sinned, and it was by one man, that's Adam, that sin entered into the world. They were lost at that point. Well, God, the Bible teaches us that the coats of skins were provided. God himself, I believe, shed the blood of innocent animals, and this is a representation of God, Jesus Christ, shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary and taking away our sin. Well, back in the Garden of Eden, after the sin occurred there, after the fall, God clothed these two people, Adam and Eve, with these coats of skin. And I believe that's a representation of being saved. And I believe that Adam and Eve did their best to raise their children according to the admonition of the Lord. They knew they had done wrong, but they knew how to be saved at that point. Well, what is my point? My point is this, that they did everything they could do, I believe, to raise their children right. But yet, one of them was a murderer. One of them did not turn out the way that they had anticipated. Cain slew Abel. He was a murderer. So when we stop to think of it, the first family that we see in the Word of God, we see Adam and Eve and their children. And I believe that they would have raised and they would have done everything they could do to let their children know about how to be saved, that the blood cleanses from all sin, but yet one of their children turned out to be a murderer. I'm not telling you to ease up. I'm not telling you to be lax in your training of your children or your child or whom God has placed within your reach to help. I'm not telling you to stop training that child. I'm telling you that you cannot force salvation, morality, or anything else upon another person. That person must choose the right way to go, even if that person is your child. Well, notice, husbands and wives, once again, fathers and mothers, Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. That's an admonition from the Lord. We're to do that. And when he is old, he will not depart from. And I believe he will remember to his dying days that you have done what you can do and that God has done what he can do and that God has offered salvation, whether they refuse it or accept it. Notice children now. Colossians 3:20. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And that promise is that that child will have long days. That child's life would be prolonged. That's a promise of God. When a child treats the parent right, according to the scriptures, that child will have long days. Well, first, we need to put God first. Second, we need to put the home second. And then we see number three. And this comes as a shock to many people, and they don't seem to realize that number three is the local church. We are, according to Matthew 16:18, and this would be number one on your list there, we are his local church. Matthew 16:18 says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, when I say we are his local church, I'm speaking of a local New Testament Bible-believing, blood-bought, baptized believers in a local church, a local church that is doing and adhering to the Word of God. Remember, we're not invisible. There is no such thing as a universal church. We are visible. We go back and we study in the book of Acts once again, and we see that the Jerusalem church was visible. It was not invisible. And the word church actually means a called out assembly. We have been called out as a local church. When we join a local church, we have been called out. We have been joined together, called to join a group of saved, baptized individuals who are willing to serve God in a local place, a local church. We are his local church when we join a local church. We become part of that local church, and that is number three on the list. And notice, who is the head of this church, the local church? Christ is the head of our local church. Colossians 1:18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Well, back in Matthew 16:18, I don't believe I read this verse, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, that's God's local church, and then it says that in the Word of God in Colossians 1:18 that he is the head. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We think sometimes that the pastor is the head of the church. Well, that's not true. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Why? Because he gave his life for the church. Well, notice that God's local church, number three, was a mystery until now, according to Ephesians 3:9. It says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." This mystery is the church. The local church. You see, the Old Testament saints didn't see the church. They saw, as you study through the Word of God in the Old Testament, when you look at this and you study it, you see that the Old Testament saints saw the first coming of Christ. They saw that. We have many scriptures that point to that he would be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah, and that, all things concerning his birth. And then if you keep reading, you'll see that the Old Testament saints, they saw the second coming of Jesus Christ. In other words, when he would be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, there seems to be a valley here between two mountains of view. In other words, they would see the first coming, notice a mountain, and then the second mountain would be the second coming of Christ. But in between, we see the church age, the unseen valley, the place where the Old Testament saints did not see the church. And that's what Ephesians 3:9 is speaking of here, the mystery, the church, Jesus Christ. He is the head. But notice now the order, once again, that we're looking at here. The practical local church, putting things in order. First of all, God. Faithfulness, worship, prayer, reading the Bible, devotions, and so forth. This does not mean working in the local church. This means putting God first. This means spending time with him in prayer, worship, and fellowship. This means spending time with him in doing what he wants you to do personally, to stay with him, to concentrate upon him. Faithfulness, worship, prayer, reading the Bible, devotions, and so forth. Then we see the home. Faithfulness, spending quality time with husband and wife and children, family devotions, and so forth. This does not mean spending time at the local church. This is for the home. This is for personal home life. Faithfulness, spending quality time with husband and wife and children, family devotions, taking time to put the home second in your life. First we have God, then we have the home, and now we see the local church. Faithfulness, attendance, and service. I believe this is God's order. First we see God, then we see that God created the home, and then we see that God created the local church. He sanctioned it, I believe, on the day of Pentecost. So in the local church, we are to be faithful. We are to be faithful in our attendance, and we're to be faithful in our service. Well, notice this. Our God should be the first greatest reality in all areas of our life. We need to place Him first. Our home should be the second greatest reality in our life. And number three, our church should be the third greatest reality in our life. Number two and number three in our study, number two and number three, that's the home and the church, these should take a back seat to number one, and that's God. Never the other way around. The order should not be reversed. And number two, this is the home in our study, should never take a back seat to number three. In other words, the first two should come before number three. That means we don't spend every waking hour working for our local church. And don't get me wrong, we need to work in our local church. But we need to have things in order. And I believe that when we put God first and the home second, then we're going to have things in order. Church would be next. Our local church, New Testament, Bible-believing local church. And I would ask you today, in what order is your life? Are you spending more time in your local church than you do at home? Are you spending more time in your local church or home than you do with God? We need to have our lives in order. And I believe if we put God first, if we get that in our minds and in our hearts, then the other two will fall into place. Put God first. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. And once again, serving God does not mean serving your local church, although that falls in when we do serve in our local church. But that does not mean we're putting God first when we're just simply using everything, every ounce that we've got in our local church. That means when you put God first, the other two things will fall into place, the home and the church. Don't neglect one for the other. Now, God bless you as you study, and God bless you as you look to the Lord for all of your sustenance. And if you've never trusted Him as your Savior, may I invite you to do so right now. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Have you done that? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And might I say that there is no greater life than a Christian life. And don't get me wrong, your troubles don't stop because you're still a human being. It doesn't become a bed of roses simply because you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But one day we'll be with our Lord in heaven. And the Bible says that when He comes back for us, either in death or in the rapture of the church, when He says, "Come up hither," either way, I believe He's going to say, "Come up hither," because we're going to go to be with Him forever in glory. And my prayer for you today is that you will trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.